Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick here with you. There's this tradition, you know, I mentioned it earlier this week, where the incoming president, when they first enter the Oval Office on their first day, they find a sealed letter on the desk from the outgoing president. Private, not even classified. This is for presidential eyes only. All this week, we've asked you to write your own message to the incoming president about what's most important to you, or simply give a little wisdom.
Hi, this is Jennifer from Allentown, Pennsylvania. I would like to ask the next president of the United States, must address economic inequality, because in my opinion, it is the driver for the violence we are witnessing.
We've also been speaking with writers who did their own messages to the new president as part of Poets and Writers' Dear President Project. Here's writer Dwayne Betts earlier this week. He crafted a message on the old epithet super predator and how it persists today.
It's a connection between the rhetoric and the policies and the inability for us to imagine young folks who get in a bad spot to be able to overcome that.
Well, instead of focusing on any one issue, writer Ocean Vuong asked the next president to use language that unifies people, avoiding the rhetoric of division.
No language is neutral. To speak is to claim a life, and often our own. If more Americans speak to one another in writing, in media, at the supermarket, we might listen better. It is difficult, I think, to hate one another when we start to understand not only why and how we hurt, but also why and how we love.
Ocean Vuong is the author most recently of Night Sky with Exit Wounds and is the recipient of the 2016 Whiting Award. He joins me now. Ocean, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hello.
Your message that we just heard seems apolitical, not really focused on any one political issue, but really on getting people to know each other better and communicate better.
I would say it is the root of why we engage in political debate, is a common ground. I think when we ask one another, what do you care about? Who do you love? What do you hope for the future? And regardless of where we fall on the political spectrum, we end up in a very similar space. Perhaps the same ground that we're standing on, sharing the same values. And I think oftentimes our political discussions fail to arrive there because we begin at such an antagonistic and divisive space. And I just think language is, you know, a tool. And like any other tool, it could be used to make something very useful or it could be used to destroy. And I think when we're more conscious about that, every time we as people speak to one another, we have to make a decision. What do I want to create with the person I'm speaking to? A wall to block them off, or a bridge where I can meet them and understand them better?
And those two images, the wall and the bridge, I mean, there's no way around connecting them to the current campaign. I mean, you said that so much rhetoric lands us in a place where we're divided. It seems to me that a lot of it is intended to do exactly that.
Absolutely. You know, I'm not a political expert. You know, I'm not on the campaign trails. And I think there is a divisiveness does win votes, because the way our democracy is made, it feels like, at least enacted in this moment, is one that is imbued with a bellicose language. We think of battleground states. He or she crushed him or her. And I always wonder, you know, as a writer, how can our democracy survive when we have imbued it with the language of warfare? And I think you're right. We're beginning at already so far from one another, to the point where the only way we can be heard is to shout. But I don't think that's the only way. I think there are other ways that are less explored.
You know, Ocean Vuong, it's true that so much of our politics is imbued with the language of warfare. But another way to look at that is that politics is warfare, right? It's the substitute for warfare. It's what lets us fight out issues without getting on a battlefield and killing each other. So maybe even though it's unpalatable to say battleground states, maybe that's actually a good thing to call it that instead of turning the states into battlegrounds.
Yeah, I mean, it does remind me of a lot of what happened during the Civil War, you know, Buddy Kansas and those states that are actual places of war. But I don't know. I think all thought begins with language, at least the way we live now as human beings. And those thoughts can lead to actions. And I just wonder what would happen if we became less belligerent in thought and in language. What would come of that? I think it's an experiment that we have not given a good chance yet here. And I just wonder, I think for me, it's more important when we initiate communication on the personal, everyday level. That's where we have the most power over our own lives as Americans. I think one of the most hurtful political rifts happen in families at the dinner table. And we avoid those conversations like the plague. But I think if we start to ask one another, what are you afraid of? What makes you happy? Who do you love? These questions start to open up channels where we realize that perhaps the person we love is also across the political spectrum from us. And if we start there, it seems inevitable that politics becomes a means to achieve those goals rather than a sort of podium to represent these polarizing ideas.
So while I have you here then, this is fascinating. It makes me want to try a thought experiment with you.
Yeah.
Maybe to imagine yourself the speechwriter for a second. Donald Trump or his campaign manager comes to you and says, Ocean Vuong, we want to give it a shot. Write my speech for today. I know I'm... Write my speech for today. How would that go?
I think it would begin with that very common ground. Questions are more helpful because a question is an invitation. And I think what happened nowadays is that, particularly in this campaign, is that we are denouncing one another before we get to ask those questions. A question is a door. But if we don't ask the questions, what do you care about? What are your values? Why are you so passionate? Why are you so angry? What are you so afraid of? And I think we don't ask those carefully. We start to close doors on one another, and we can't afford to do that.
Ocean Vuong is a poet and author, most recently of Night Sky with Exit Wounds. He won the 2016 Whiting Award and also contributed to Poets and Writers Project on letters to the new president. Ocean Vuong, thank you so much.
Thank you.